October 8th, 2021. It's the Watch for Pedro show. For Pedro Show, happy Friday. Start off the show with Wait and Pray, the alternate take from John Coltrane. And then Lisa Cameron, Sandy Ewan, Tiger Saw. I just got word from Lisa Cameron. There's a new Ganji. What's that project he's got with Raquel Bell?
Oh, I forget what it's called.
Some Ganji Land or something. He was in the desert, you know, where they live, Joshua Tree, and they got new stuff coming out, and so and maybe Marfa too, though. I didn't know. I just know new music's coming from them, and I'm a big fan of both of them. Galaxtasy, right, is the Raquel's thing, Jared, and I think he's part of it too.
I bought some artwork from Raquel a while ago.
I think he's doing some percussion. Yeah, she does that also. I got to share the stage with him in Chinatown once.
Cool.
Well, actually, the deck of the Golden Jazz restaurant or something like this. It was very interesting. They're a great band, that couple. But I'm interested in your journey through music. First, we got to give credit to Brother Bill for making the connect, correct?
Yeah, thanks, Bill.
Okay. And yeah, your journey through music. So please bring your earliest musical memory you got still in your brain, Sandy.
I mean, earliest musical memory is tricky because, you know, music's kind of ubiquitous. So I remember.
Yeah, but it's a Watt for Pedro show.
My parents both played piano.
Sandy, you got to understand, it's a Watt for Pedro show, and there's no hard questions. There's no wrong answers.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I grew up, you know, listening to music like everybody does, and, you know, the parents started me on piano lessons when I was probably about 7 or 8 or something, and
You want to hear the most common answer? The most common answer is I'm driving around in the car with my pop or my ma, and I'm hearing the radio. That's the most common one. So, you know, you're right. If music is ubiquitous, but I think something's got to start somewhere where you got on your path, so you... Both your parents were piano players. Was there a piano in the pad you grew up?
Yeah. I mean, my parents weren't, like, professional piano players, but they enjoyed playing piano, and they did musical theater when they were in college.
Now, did they put you, or did you jump on that piano, or did you get made to take lessons, or what was the experience?
It was just sort of the way it was going to be. I don't think I was asked either way. Sort of like, oh, we have piano now.
And what was the experience? Because it's all kinds of ranges of guests that have been on my show. Some people, it almost made them quit music. Other people, it was very valuable this day.
I enjoyed it. I mean, I really liked playing by ear. Like, if my piano teacher would play something, I could usually play it back. So, like, learning to read music, I mean, I did, but it was a bit more frustrating because it was, I don't know, kind of slow. You look at the note, you play the note on the thing, and, you know, getting the phrasing right is hard without hearing it first.
Were you really little? How old were you?
I don't know, 7? I'm not sure how old I was when I started, but probably about 6 or 7. I mean,
yeah,
the piano was always in the house.
Yeah, but at the same time, you're learning how to read and write, you know. I can imagine the challenge. I can imagine it. And,
our piano was a Yamaha piano, and it said Yamaha right above the middle notes on the piano. And I remember trying to notate, like, twinkle, 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 little star, and notating it with the letters of Yamaha.
You were using them, like, as a reference.
Yeah, like, why? Point. I forget what the H, something, something.
No, you know, sometimes you need another device, right? Because you're right. So much memory, so much stuff trying to get stuff in the head. But you said, when you could play by ear, you were freed up in a way, right? I think that led up to why you're such a student of free music nowadays, maybe.
Probably, yeah. I mean, I could read music. I don't really read music these days at all because I'm almost strictly improvising. And whenever I'm playing something composed, it's never musical notation. I've done a lot of graphics scores or just sort of text-based scores, all sorts of things. I have in Texas, I was leading this all-female large ensemble, and the goal of that was just to get more ladies in the music, because I was finding that I was playing in all these sort of free improv groups with gentlemen in the scene, but there were a lot of interesting women. So I started this group, and it was a lot of people who had never really played music too much before, or, you know, everyone could sing. So I had everyone writing pieces that could be communicated without, you know, musical notation. So sort of like descriptions of how to do stuff or like ways of interacting. So that was really fun. And I think...
Yeah, I want to get to that, but I want to get before that, actually. And
I mean, there was
ensembles with women. Believe it or not, there was something called mandolin orchestras 100 years ago. And they usually were all women. But you're right, there's a lot of segregation, a lot of prejudice, bullshit. You know, play the tambourine and stand in the back. The first rock and roll lady I saw was Suzy Quatro, and she was on bass. I dug that. Let me ask you the first record you bought with your own money.
Right in the Corners by Pavement.
And what was the first gig you went saw?
I think my parents brought me to see Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. I think that was the first one.
Okay. Remember, there's no wrong answers. It's okay.
I'm just trying to remember that that's actually the first one.
That's okay, though. You know, it's not interrogation.
Yeah.
One of the reasons I ask these questions is because I want to bring this stuff out so people are afraid of getting into music. If they hear other people, how they got into music, maybe they won't be afraid. That's the only reason I ask. There's no yardstick or shit like that. Let me ask you this. At school, were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
Yeah. Growing up, I was in elementary school, I was in choir. When my family moved to the United States, I started playing clarinet in band. That would have been like fifth grade or something. And I continued with clarinet until middle school because they made you choose your elective. You had to choose either art or music. So I did music, you know, marching band for a semester. And then I wanted to switch over to visual art. And you can't do both. So I quit playing clarinet.
You can't do both. No, those were the rules of that institution. You can do both. I got plenty of friends who do both.
Well, the school wouldn't let me do both.
Yeah, I understand. I understand. I was just having a little fun with that. Of course. And especially being a kid, you don't understand. You think that's the way the world is, right? Because that's all you know.
I find you can do both. I mean, I switched to guitar then, and I'm going to get into.
I'm going to get into and ask you this, Sandy. After school, not graduating, but in the afternoon, did you do the garage band, the basement band, the bedroom band?
In high school, a little bit, but it was more of a free improv band.
That's okay.
Yeah.
What it means is it's like you guys' own band. It's not being directed by adults or something.
Yeah, well, I was doing workshops, and then the people from the workshop would get together extra and play at somebody's house and, you know, do a little bit of recording or whatever.
Now, when you say improv, so in a way, that's composing. It's a form of composing, right?
I mean, I guess so, but...
No, I asked that because when me and D. Boone started...
It's like live composing, so I don't know. Some people would say no, and some people would say maybe.
Okay, I'm going to say it is, because when me and D. Boone started, we tried copying songs off fucking records. So I would rather be doing... I think that's a lot closer. Yeah, that ain't composing at all. But you don't know, right? If you don't have a culture of that around you, it's hard to know and make choices. So, you don't want to be part of the 70s. It was a bunch of shit. My experience. Okay, some good things. Like most things human, it's a mixed deal, right? There's pluses and minuses. So, you guys were... Now, did you have role models?
Well, I guess, you know, I was listening to a lot of, you know, free jazz. I was listening to your band, the Minutemen, and like, all sorts of different stuff in high school. And then I met Dave Dove, who was doing,
Trombone Man, out of Houston.
Yeah. Have you talked to him?
No, you had me and Kate come play 3 gigs in Houston.
Yeah, I know. I was there.
Okay. That's how I know him. He later brought me to that Silver Slipper, and I got all baracha with Jandek.
Oh, I heard about that.
Yeah, that was...
I missed that.
That was the time.
That.
Okay, you missed that, Sandy. That's okay. But anyway, Dave Dove, great cat. Okay, and I know he's way into experimental. And oh, man, we should play this here. You gave me this etched in the eye, Space Chalk.
Thank you. strong while both hands. Let it be your body vibrate when the night breaks. Let it be your body vibrate when the night breaks. Let it be your body vibrate when the night breaks. Let it be your body vibrate. Let it be your body vibrate. Let it be your body vibrate when the night breaks.
Thank you. bodies aren't on display until the bell gets out of the way today. Sleeping techniques to understand until the bell slips out of the hand away. Determination, you must be mad. It's really a clock.
the Eye with a tune called Space Chalk. Love it. Model Home, brand new. This is, they got a new album out, and this is a single, Night Break. Beautiful album. Out of the D.C. area. A Mamsel, this from up in the city. This is Moomsel, is Ma, right? Maya. She's, I think, with the San Francisco Symphony or something, and this is just her jamming along. Her daughter recorded it. Graf out of Netherlands with Broth, Vermes d'Olimbo from their new album, Vacina, out of Brazil, Landowner, out of England, but they're straight. Brand new from Harry Reeve up in Glasgow. He's living these days. Ecoda. Well, sometimes he's in France. Okay, Howie. It's an instrumental album he just came out with. SLWCCY, this is a collab I did with Sam Locke Ward in Iowa City. Tell Me When It's On. The Bell Goes Out of Its Way, brand new, Guided by Voices. Right, every 3 months, brand new. Incredible. And then Weird Weeds. And I've heard of a bunch of Weird Weeds, but this one's called Track 5. Like, right, if you don't give it a title from the iTunes or some shit, or off a CD. But I guess this is actually the name of the song.
It didn't actually have a title.
Yeah, okay. You know how they did that? They come off the CD, they just had track 1, 2, and that. So, continue with the story. So, Dave Dove has an influence on your life.
Yeah, he found me at a record store buying Captain Beefheart records, and he told me I should come see Sam Rivers Trio. So, I did.
Sam Rivers! Wow!
Yeah.
Pettibone brought me to see Sam Rivers in Hollywood. Incredible gig.
Yeah, I love that show. That was my first free improv show, or I guess jazz show I ever went to.
Wow. And it was, yeah. It was a sea change for you, huh?
Yeah, and I got looped into the whole Nameless Sound, Pauline Oliveros Foundation crew. So, yeah, I started going to Dave's workshops like once or twice a week and started, I just met a bunch of young improvisers, you know, people were in, I was in high school, but like some of those people were in college and just sort of young adults that seemed pretty cool doing some, you know, really experimental sounds. So, yeah, that was an interesting way to get into music super early, I guess, high school.
Now, after high school, you go to higher education for music?
No, I went to architecture school.
Okay. But you still on the other burner? Did you have music still going?
Yeah. So I went off to, UT Austin, and I started a band with Tom Carter called Spiderwebs. That was like my first semester of college, and we released a CD, and then we've been playing together, off and on since then. I think we have another album out. And then Tom moved away to California, so I joined a band called Weird Weeds, which was with Sarah Hennies and Aaron Russell.
Right.
So that's what we just heard.
Right. Okay. You know, I maybe last year guest on named Ice, and this lady makes trippy ass music, but she's an architect. She went to school in St. Louis. I think they're in Knoxville now.
Cool.
Brother Evan Lubson, a stand-up bass player, they're just about to have bring on board a new shipmate.
Nice.
Well,
yeah.
You
well,
can
I'm
be
an architect.
Architect and do music. She proves it, and you prove it, so it's okay.
Yeah.
In fact, there's a famous quote for Charlie Mingus, right? Try to talk about music is like dancing about architecture or something.
Yeah, I think I've heard that one.
So, Spiderwebs, is that your first band?
I mean, that was the first one that had a name that was, recorded and did shows and stuff. So, yeah, I'd say so.
So it's different than that stuff, that improv stuff in high school and stuff, right?
Well, improv groups, membership changes depending on who's there.
Right,
so
But you mentioned something about guitar. So you grab it, you leave the keyboard, the piano, and the clarinet for guitar?
Yeah.
Why?
I guess my brother had a guitar, and it seemed like a fun thing to learn. So I got my own guitar when I was in middle school. And
what was it? Was it acoustic or electric?
It's the same one I play now. It's an Ibanez ArtStar.
Ah.
Electric.
Oh, you mean like Keith, the on the table, the Keith Rowe thing?
I mean, that's the same guitar that I've always had.
Okay. Because I seen you gave me a picture, and it's just sitting on a table. Now, I learned about this guy.
It's probably on my lap if I were going to make a guess.
Okay. I learned about this guy from the AAM, right? From actually Rob Chapman's book on Sid Vicious. Sid Barrett. Because he was highly influenced by these cats.
I was lucky enough to, you know, meet Keith Rowe when I was in high school. You know, Dave brought him through for a workshop. And, you know, I've played with him since. We have he and Damon and I have an album out together that just came out like a month or two ago.
You know what? Next hour, you gave me some music. Maybe it's from that.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so we'll play that. I don't want to jump the gun here. So, okay, Weird Weeds. That ends up doing records and stuff because I've heard music from it.
Yeah, we've done, I want to say like 5 or 6 albums. I forget. But, you know, Sarah moved to Ithaca, New York, and the band broke up. I guess that was around, like, 2012, but, you know, that band had a good run. Aaron and I were recording some stuff during the pandemic, and that band's had an interesting trajectory. Our early material, did you just sneeze? Bless you.
No, I didn't sneeze.
Our earliest material, you know, really short little songs. And then it sort of evolved into playing these really long, drawn-out kind of, I don't know, different stuff. But it sounds like the same group still. It's funny how it's completely different, but it still sounds the same. But Aaron and I, we were recording like about a year ago, and just almost like noise music, noise drone music. So hopefully Sarah will, you know, put some percussion in there, and we can have a new Weird Weeds record.
Now, Weird Weeds, did they ever tour?
Yeah, a couple times. We went up to New York a couple times. We played in Toronto. We did a West Coast tour. We played a lot of Texas shows.
Yeah, like it was a Texas band, right?
Yeah, my first show with Weird Weeds was in Austin. We opened for Deerhoof. That was really fun.
Yeah, great band. They just put out a new album.
I got to hear it. I haven't tracked that one down yet.
Yeah, it just came out just a couple days ago, maybe last Friday.
Yeah,
so a week ago. But Greg Sarnier, I think he's working with Maya up in the city right now on her album. He's incredible music, man. I think he went to Oberlin, right?
Yeah. I think Aaron from Weird Weeds went to Oberlin, too, and I think they knew each other.
Oh, that's the connect. Okay.
Yeah.
Small world, huh? Small world.
That Weird Weeds track you just played, I think John Dietrich's on has a guitar part on it.
Okay, and he's one of the Deerhoof guys. Yeah. I got to make an album with him. He's an incredible musician. Beautiful man, too. Yeah, beautiful. Everybody in that band is really good people.
Yeah.
Just a treasure for our fucking movement. You moved from Texas.
Yeah. Well, I lived in Canada till I was 10. I lived in Massachusetts for 2 years, Florida for 2 years, Delaware for 2 years, and then Texas. My last 2 years of high school were in Houston. Then I went to Austin for college, and I moved back to Houston. And now I'm in Brooklyn.
Okay. Yeah, because we're talking to you right now from Brooklyn, right?
Yeah.
And, of course, the boroughs, New York City, it attracts people from all over. That energy, right? There's no town like it.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so much going on. There's just tons of people to play with. It's a different kind of vibe. Like, I kind of like the Houston improv vibe. It's a little lower key, lower stakes. But,
Sandy, I'll tell you, Nels Klein, okay, SoCal here, grew up Santa Monica shit, tried to get free music going with his twin brother, Alex Klein, years and years. He moves to New York City. It's happening. You know?
Yeah.
It's not like lack of people. There's a buttload of people living here, but they just would not support it.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Well, Houston has, you know, a small dedicated crew that would come out to shows, but New York is just, there's just so many more people doing it. Like, you look at Jessica's calendar, nyc-noise.com, and she's got, like, you know, usually like 2 or 3... maybe 4 shows a night going on various places.
I know.
Nels, a lot of it's free improv.
Nels is in heaven, you know. It was just so much. And he always dreamed about it, he told me, but the reality was just, and he did. He worked like 20, 30 years trying to get it happening here. It just wouldn't take. We're at the end of the first hour, October 8th, 2021 edition. Wap Pedro Show special guest said to you, you know what? That John Coltrane record comes out today, live in Seattle, Love Spring. Hold tight for hour 2. October 8, 2021. It's the second hour of Watt for Pedro show.
Thank you. Thank you.
Watt from Pedro Show. Start off second hour, Weird Weeds with Holy Train Wrecks. And I was just enlightened to the fact Steve Gigante was a member of Weird Weeds for a while. And he's been on the show, and he's an amazing, creative individual. What's some kind of old man. He's got a moniker that's pretty hilarious. And for a while, he had a tenure in Deer Hoof. Ben Salford from Tasmania after that with Debt Man Without Tattoo. How Yes No out of Croatia. Tesco Ye Reshi Duro. It's hard to say, Duro. This is Trobakova Kustan Pesci out of Slovenia. And then finally, Sandy Ewan, Keith Rowe. Speaking about last hour. Damon Smith. Where the juncture knits the channel bone. So, a radical way of playing guitar, right, Keith Rowe?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for his time, I don't think anybody had ever done that with guitar before, right?
No.
Yeah, so he was a man ahead of his time, in his time, and he was a huge influence on Syd Barrett. I learned from Rob Chapin's book, A Very Irregular Head. I mean, his argument is that Sid was not insane, a little drug problem, but he just didn't like the mersh. He's an arse. He didn't want to be part of the Welcome to the Machine that later the band would sing about this, right? And they would make albums about this dilemma that he had. He walked back home to Cambridge, right? Barefoot or some shit, 40 miles. But that's probably the craziest thing he did. That's what this book argued. Rob Chapman was a singer for Glaxo Babies, Bristol Band. Keith, so you got to meet him via Dave Dove. Now, you had already been playing guitar before this, right?
Yeah.
But then it's a sea change, right? It's like, whoa.
Well, honestly, I've been playing the way I didn't change too much, but it was good to see someone else doing it. I mean, he has a tabletop guitar, and I put my guitar in my lap, which is kind of a different thing. Like, he's fairly removed from it, so he's setting things up in kind of a precise way, the way you might, like, set a table or something.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like my playing's always been a little more gestural, like, and because, you know, the guitar is, like, physically on my body, so if I move with it, it's a lot more gestures with my arms and, you know, I've always used a lot of implements, but that's just sort of to coax out more interesting sounds. I think that Keith was great to see him and meet him, and I think one thing he gave me was a piece of a coat hanger that he showed you could make a high-pitched sound with your Ebow using that.
Now, what about lap steel? I mean, that's a tradition that goes way back, right?
Yeah, I think I'm close to that, sort of, except with more implements. I have a pedal steel guitar. I was playing that a little bit during the pandemic.
The possibilities are so fucking endless.
Well, it's a great instrument because
it's incredible.
If you don't know how to use it, it still sounds beautiful.
But, I mean, the possibilities, right? All the different tunings, all the bendings, all the combinations. Oh, my God.
And
I got to meet Sneaky Pete. I don't know if you're aware of him, but he was flying Burrito Brothers. And
actually,
traditional guys got pissed at him because he used feedback and shit. You're always upsetting anybody if you want to, like, explore, right?
Yeah.
There's always this tension between traditional and then, you know, going where no human has gone before.
Do you know Susan Alcorn?
She's
a pedal steel player. She's great. She used to live in Houston, so I've known her since, you know, forever.
Okay.
And Heather Murray, another good pedal steel player, also Texas.
yeah. Though there's a lot in Nashville, too. Of course, there's a lot of work there with the studios. I had a guy from England who actually moved there for the work. But I was asking Nels, you know, because in my stupidness, lap pedal, they are different universes, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And but they're both bitching. I love them. Look, you gave me this music here from the first band, Spiderwebs. This is Away, Away, O2. Thank you. Watch for Pedro show that chunk of music. Away, away, oh, two spider webs. If Bawana with Margolis, Chester, New York, Once Upon a Time after that. And then Sandy Ewan, Weezer Walter. I got to play once with him in Pedro. Man, I couldn't connect with him. Like, he wouldn't look at me.
He wouldn't look at you?
He wouldn't, you know, and the drummer, bass, right, rhythm section. Well, in the old days, almost everybody except the horns was in the rhythm section. Yeah, piano, guitar, everybody was chopping on those fucking, you know, eighth notes, a quarter, you know, bump, 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 bump. They had to, like, really beat the beat out because the horns were so loud. And people are dancing, right? So they had to get over that in their feet. Anyway, Sandy Ewan and Weasel Walter with The Paradox of Tolerance, 0-1, 0-2, 0-1. Maybe that's why I put him in that chunk. But nothing against Weasel Walter, but man, I wish he would have made a connect with me. At least some ojos. See some ojos. It was at a biker bar, this place, Harold's Place in Pedro, you know, where the favorite pickup line is nice tooth, you know. Anyway, how'd you meet Walter? He was part of that big jam with Roscoe and Damon, right?
Yeah, well, I met Weasel through Damon. Damon was living in Texas, and he and I were playing together a lot, and Damon brought Weasel through town, and then we've had a trio ever since. And, you know, that trio's played with, you know, different people, Roscoe Mitchell.
Oh, that's what it was. That was the core band, yeah. And then that was our
band. Yeah.
Okay.
We played with Peter Evans. We're going to have, Damon's coming to Brooklyn in like a week or two, and we're playing a trio gig, and I think Robbie Coltrane said he might sit in with us for a little bit.
Wow! Yes! That'd be bitching. I'd like to meet that man, but I seen him play. I saw he was with Max. You know, Max Roach, he set everybody in a line. I like that. He'd be on one end, but no hierarchy, no... I mean, big mistake was Minuteman putting George Hurley in the back. That was so fucking... I always have my drummers up front now the last 20 years, but we should have done that. But anyway, Max Roach's count-ins. And I guess you just play as fast as you can. You know, yeah, there was no 1, 2, 3, that shit. It was just and.
Go, yeah.
Yeah, and go. It was beautiful. And this idea of older guys playing with younger guys, it's no rock and roll shit to market some youth kind of trip, right? Music is music.
Yeah.
It was beautiful to see that, where you got the sensei, you know, and the mentor and the, you know, the cat coming on. Yeah, I took a drummer that was 40 years younger. Maybe with the Rolling Stones being in this, you know, 70 and shit, maybe that's over. Maybe we don't have to, it's not a young person. You know, music is music, and it doesn't matter what age. And
well, I think that's one of the good things about free improv, in my mind, is that it isn't like youth music. I feel like there's a lot of music that's supposed to be like fun and popular, and it's about like, you know, young people like hooking up and whatever. And free improv is not that. It's more like community based.
I think in
you know,
the 50s,
there's a certain amount of respect for your elders, and I don't know.
I think in the 50s they were repurposing Boogie Woogie to sell to this new thing called the teenager. They're living at home. They got expendable money.
Yeah.
I hate to be that cynical, but not the spirit of rock and roll and stuff. But there was some, and so there had to be this kind of. You know, they used it to sell Rebel Without a Cause movie, right? But still a good movie. Shit happens like that. Speaking of older guys and free music, in fact, he wrote a book called The Free Music. Jack Wright, have you played with him?
I think I shared a bill with him, but I haven't played with him. But I know him. I would like to play with him.
Okay. So you know of him. And he's been on the show, and that book is incredible, and he has no problem playing with younger people and stuff. And
yeah.
I really like that. Maybe because I'm 63. December 64. But, you know, time's a freight train. What do? Say no? You can, but it don't matter. Yeah, it's funny about that kind of stuff, Sandy, you know. Nobody picks when they're born, though, right? It's all circumstance.
You get what you get, yeah.
That's right. Life deals you a hand, and then you got to play it. And if people get into your life, man, is that a fucking happening thing? Unless
you're
people that ain't aiding the betters, then it's not a happening thing. Okay, we're at the end of the second hour. October 8, 2021's What Pedro's special guest, Sandy Ewan. Hold tight, Pop 3. October 8, 2021, it's the third hour of the Watford Pedro Show.
to greet the early morning sun, closing it behind me, and away do I run. To the meadow where the meadowlark is singing in the tree, in the meadow I go walking in the early morning. Cup my hands to catch a multicolored butterfly, perched upon the petals, flowers growing wild. Freeing it, I watch it as it flies away from me, to visit with the flowers in the early morning. Rainbow colored flowers kissed with the early morning sun. The aster and the dahlia and the wild geraniums. The drops of morning dew still linger on the Irish leaves. In the meadow where I'm walking in the early morning breeze. The meadow where I stray, for it's there I find the courage to greet the coming day. For there among the flowers I kneel gently to my knees, to have a word with God in the early morning.
Lebensminen, ja. Rind im Siemen am Breler, Leibensminen, ui. Eemens, niemen, jemen, deut, wel. Alles werder, smogen, snifs, meut. Jigdu gott, öll. O wenn weg, hübi, snimbi, snamigen, glöge, djusch, glatt, aus chlarkerken, torken. Rojo, eir, hem, oren, timsen, leik, lehn an Diven und Minz nimmt Snover ein bisschen wieder. Ejo den, ich kennt ihn. Nimm Jochen her, es wäre Hürde duhe, Jörg hude Minz nabe döde, lei. Ey, ihr müsst ne, ihr kommt hedel koi, bei und verhüdet. Na, Minz wäre du, ja, wenn du es fischen einen, lege dit bei der Rücke, jo, ja, roi, ja, quatsch, mein Hui geht. Und je bei Inga, das Mindern, bebeppen wir das Blicke zu verpappers, Kleus, was mit der Öger, los, im Hieß, mein Semmenige, mit dem anderen Kai Bindungen, meine mein Kleine, ich hab die Wei, je, ich geh heute, wie sie mit auf alle Beren, ne, nun sie mir noch einen bei der Öger, na, na, ich geh bei der Eidei, bei einem Hanbin. Aber, M. Han. Mein Arm, ja, Homin, sam Hübe, je, quaja, ne, genau, ja, m'snum, wuh, ayo, kayo, parakasere, rete, raketspech, kach, genau, lecken, honem, sam sach, genau, grrrr, ayo, gersen, men, bride, goiken, m'loven, ja, na, eh, ja, ayo, gersen, ayo, gern, ja, nimmen, gebende, nissen, mam, boah, uye, gurr, hürbe, lese, rabar, be, ube, be, ube, be, ken, no, me, o, no, ne, 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 yeah. Oh, yeah, that's it. Yes, get it in. We are paid out. I regret it. But I'm going to see him. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
From Peaver Show. Start off the third hour with Aaron's piece from Blues Raspberry Sour Apple. Then Babes New York City. Still the worst name ever, but I like the song. A Bike Is Falling Apart. Kishi Bashi. Kay was on maybe a month ago. Early Morning Breeze. Versari out of Paris with Amy. How would I say that? Des Images, okay? Des Images, probably they'd say. I like French because you remove the last letters. It's Icano. I like this. On the Big Walk, this is Jack Blanc, Sandy Ewan, Damon Smith, and Chris Cockburn. Explain both these pieces, Sandy.
Aaron's piece, that was a piece written by Aaron. The group is the all-female large ensemble that I was in charge of, and every iteration of the group had a different fruit-flavored name, so that was Blue Raspberry Sour Apple.
Yeah, great. I like it.
Yeah. And what was the second? Oh, yeah, it's a quartet with Yop, Damon, and Chris, and that was a fun project. We went on a little mini-tour, and then we did a recording session, and I brought my parents' dog along in the car, and it was very fun.
Yeah, so Espanol?
Okay. No, he's Dutch.
Dutch, oh, yeah, yeah, it's Y. That's right, Espanol is H.
Yeah, you should check out his work. He does a lot of sound poetry, and he does a fantastic version of Ursonata.
Yeah, Hurt Jan, I have a friend in Holland named Hurt Jan, so I should know. I'm an idiot. My memory's so bad. I'm curious about the large woman ensemble. Like, you say this is Aaron's piece. So a lady brings a piece of music to the big band, and then what? How do you How do you guys
I just told everyone, well, we just needed material to work on, and it was we did some just straight out improvising too, but I found if we were doing a performance, it was nice to sort of intersperse free improv with compositions. So that was I think the idea of that composition was to make a sound, let it be as long as it's going to be, based on like how long the instrument rings out for, and then repeat it again.
And how many ladies were in the band?
It sort of ranged. Sometimes we were like,
no, like this one here, like Blue Raspberry Power Apple.
I'm thinking like 10, but I forget.
Now, did Erin write for the 10 people, or she just had this piece and then you adapted it?
That she was in the group for that, but that, I think just repeating stuff, we probably tweaked the directions to it a little bit, but yeah, we would.
Oh, is this like what you were talking about, the graphical score kind of thing?
Well, it's more like a verbal score. You just sort of say like everybody has their own like repeating sound, and it doesn't necessarily sync up because it's just sort of as long as yours happens to be, so they kind of overlap in different ways. And,
You mean like dancing your ornette or some mechalodiet? What do you call that, harmelodic? Sounds like dudes playing different songs at the same time.
Well, we all have the same intention, but the idea isn't that we're all like synced up in time. It's so much that like things overlap in different amounts of time. So it's, I don't know.
You know what somebody once told me about time, a definition that I thought was interesting?
No.
The only reason for time is to keep everything from happening at once.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Here, you gave me this music, Red Current, in a tune called Fabiola Trio.
Oh, yeah, that was another of the all-female large ensemble. That piece was written by Rebecca Novak.
Oh, Current, like a berry.
Oh.
Last music for this edition, Red Current, with an A or an E. We're deciding off air, people. Fabiola Trio, and this is another version of the large one. How many ladies were in this one?
I think there were 10 of us.
10 again. Okay, that's a good number, right? One for each finger and thumb. And then we had Cinchel with a defining pattern, planted for burial out of Pennsylvania, boring, domesticated life. Ray Shin, Catatonia, Florida. I don't know if there's such a town, but that's what music's for, pretending. And then finally, you just gave me this, Garden Medium, with a tune called Glencoma Heterosia. Did I pronounce that right?
Probably.
Okay.
I don't know how to pronounce Latin.
What is that project?
Garden Medium, okay, that's Rebecca Novak and Carol Sandon Cooley, both members of the ladies ensemble, but Garden Medium just did free improv pieces pretty much exclusively. And yeah.
Okay. And what are New York people?
No, Houston people.
Oh, they're Houston people. Okay. And and then the Red Current was just another version, not just, but a version of the large lady. But
yeah,
were they different 10 ladies? Were they?
Sometimes there were 12, sometimes less. It sort of depended on how many people were on board for a project. That Red Current was organized to do a big performance for a Francis Ali installation that was at the Manil, is called Fabiola, and it was his art installation was hundreds of sort of folk art renditions of Fabiola, who's the patron saint of nurses and abused women. So we did a whole bunch. I don't know. There's a video of it on YouTube. If you type in Red Current at the Manil, you can find
Don't know how to spell currents. So he's gonna.
Yeah, I don't know.
No.
I'll send
you just do it both ways, people. One of them's
but yeah, yeah, we I had everyone in the ensemble write different pieces, and they were supposed to somehow relate to the art and also have an idea of how to move through the space. So we had interesting sort of.
Oh, you're saying, Sandy, that these are actually recorded at the art museum, or they're recorded in
the
studio?
Yeah, we performed it at the the museum, and there was sort of choreography where we'd be at different corners of the room, and I don't know, it was fun.
Yeah, well.
Interesting group.
It was probably an experience.
Yeah.
Right. I think in the 60s they called them happenings. And, you know, there's something about that, right? It's all about the moment and stuff. But we got a little audio recording here of it, document. But probably loses some of the dimension, like you said, all the stuff. And also it's combined with these other things. That's really, to have multifaceted expression like that, I think, is where things are headed. You know, like you said about this earlier in the show, this conflict between visual art and, you know, audio art. Yeah, it's kind of crazy, right? If you watch a movie, look at all those forms coming together to make the one piece.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, right. I've been enjoying making music videos. I mentioned that I'm an architect, so I have a lot of computer software, and I've been making music videos for different projects.
Oh, interesting. You mean like CAD?
Like CGI. Like, I have a video rendering program, so I make 3D object. I've been doing like photogrammetry, which is when you take a bunch of pictures and you squish it through your computer and it gives you a 3D model of something.
Yeah, in the old days I think they called it CAD.
Yeah, well, I mean, I have
computer-assisted drawing or some shit.
Yeah, like, so I guess it's CAD, but it's more like computer-assisted.
We're talking. Yeah, but what? You know, I got trained to fucking solder key punch machines. You know, you made the card to make the program. These motherfuckers took like hundreds of amps just to make the card. So and slide rules. When I went to high school, there's no calculators. Yeah, it's kind of weird. I ain't that old, but things have changed so much. So you got the better understanding of this, because they didn't have the power to make 3D things really yet. So that's the CAD world is probably ancient. What's your next plan?
My next plan?
Yeah.
Music
wise.
Music wise. Damon is coming to town. Oh, I'm playing a gig with Tim Dahl and Weasel coming up. I'm trying to get Maria Chavez. You know her? She's a turntablist. She and I have some recordings that I need to be figuring out artwork for. We're going to do some sort of releases in some sort of form, like a book or something. We need to get it sorted out.
Okay. And where can people find you on the internet?
SandyUN.bandcamp.com, or if you look me up on YouTube, you might be able to find my YouTube channel.
Yeah, or just use a search engine. But people, her Sandy, last name Ewen.
Yes.
Okay. Big honor to have you on the show. Thank you so much, Sandy. When you get this, use that English word, right? Sorted out. No, you say sorted out. They just say sorted, right? Yeah. When you get it sorted out, when you come back on the show, I'm really interested in what you're doing, so I'd love to have you back on the show.
I'd love to be back. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely,
it's great
Sandy.
To speak with you.
And thank you, Brother Bill, for making the connect. People, it's been September. Yeah. No, it ain't. October 8th, 2021. This is my feet are so keep you powder dry.